the Columbia Workshop. At some time or other, everyone has felt a keen desire to change his lot, to break away from his accustomed routine and embark on an entirely new mode of living. For the purpose of our story, we assume that this same urge is felt by characters who are purely fictitious, and that the immortals of literature, who exist only between the well-worn covers of books, yearn for release from monotony, even as you and I. In the fantasy we are about to present, the feelings expressed by the people you meet are their own, and not inspired by the authors who created them. Having escaped through Copyright Lane into the limitless expanse of the public domain, they seek to assert themselves as independent entities. We present the Messrs. Tony and Samuel Weller from the Pickwick Papers, Sarah Gamp and her mythical friend Mrs. Eris from Martin Chuzzlewit, Alice, the Duchess, the Mad Hatter, the Mock Turtle, the White Knight, and the Dormouse from the Alice books by Lewis Carroll. And from the tragedy of Hamlet, Prince of Denmark by William Shakespeare, we give you the melancholy Dane himself. Having announced our list of characters, we leave them to speak for themselves. Hush, here they come.
Now, Sammy, I've changed my mind. I ain't a coming with you. I don't want to go making no changes at my time of life.
Now, look here, Alden. Seeing as that was me made you famous in a manner of speaking, I'm an had you for a father, you ought to be ashamed of yourself for wanting of me to go about in a new world like a orphan.
Orphan's what it's going to be, Samuel. No public domains for me, that's what I says. Give me the people what I came into the world with. Mr. Pickwick, Mr. Jingle, Mr. Tapman, and the rest on them. I feels at home with them. I don't want to go meeting no strangers.
And why not? There's lots of people as good as us in the public domain. All the Shakespeare people there is, and Cleopatra, and the Queen of Sheba. Hundreds and thousands of them there is. And you can meet them all if you'll only come out of your shell.
And supposing I doesn't like them when I meet some, Samuel?
Then you can give them a piece of your mind like you used to do in Pickwick, can't you?
Well, Sammy, I could try me hand at it, so to speak. But if I doesn't have Mr. Dickens along to put the words in me mouth, I might make such a very good fist on it.
Well, you never knows what you can do till you tries. As the elephant said when he asked him if he could play the piano.
Well, Samuel, I might go with you once if it'll keep you quiet. You sort of try it. Who knows but what we might meet Mr. Dickens himself there if all you says is true.
Oh, no, Alden. Mr. Dickens won't be there. No chance of that. He was a hawther. And hawthers never goes into the public domain themselves. They don't like it. And if they don't like their characters to go in there neither. But there ain't nothing they can do to stop them when they've been alive as long as you and me have.
All right, Sammy. There ain't never no time like the present. So if your heart's set on it, just let me button at me gaiters and off we go.
Then, Alden, what do you think on it?
Think of what, Sammy?
Why does he public domain?
Oh, I don't see nothing wonderful about it. Looks like a bit of Sussex to me down Clayton way. Queer lot of people about, though.
Well, you know, Alden, it takes all kinds of people to make literature. You mustn't forget as you and me is from literature.
Yes, we are, Sammy. And maybe as how we ought to have stayed there. Tell me, Sammy. Is he likely to meet any bidders?
Yeah, just as like as not, Alden. You know, there's a lot of them in literature. Fact and fiction.
All the bidders as I ever knowed was matters of friction, Samuel. And none on them knowed what a fact was. Bidders. Oh, Samuel, protect me from the bidders.
You'll have to learn to protect yourself, Alden. And you better be pretty quick about it, too, because you're going to meet lots on them there. Why, here's one to come in now. Good morning, Mrs. Gamp.
Oh, and if it ain't that there nice Sammy Weller. Oh, and your poor dear pa, too. I suppose you say you're going to the convention.
Look out at me, Sammy. Well, look out at me.
You know, as I was saying to my dear friend Mrs. Harris only this morning, Mrs. Harris, I says, I'm a-going over to that there convention in the public domain, I says. And she says to me, Harris, she says, I'm more half a mind to come with you, she says. But I didn't want her to chasing along, Mr. Weller.
Why not? Two villages only half as dangerous as one.
Oh, Mr. Weller, if you ain't the one. You always was one for your little jokes, wasn't you?
I ain't joking, ma'am. Villages is poison, ma'am. That's what I says, poison.
Oh, so that's it, is it? Poison?
Yes, ma'am, poison. And speaking of poison, how did you happen to become a widow, ma'am?
Oh, dare you, imbibing old vomit. Why, you know me?
Alden, what's this here? What is it? What's the matter, Alden? Can't I leave you alone with a lady for half a minute? but you must go a getting over all excited.
Ah, oh, Mr. Sammy, I'm so glad you're here to protect me.
But I ain't, ma'am. This old wagabone father of mine needs all the protection I got. But here comes a gentleman what looks like one of them knights of chivalry. He might protect you if he ain't got nothing better to do.
Well, I never. If it ain't that dear, kind, good gentleman, Mr. Gallagher. Just in time to save a poor, weak woman what's being imposed on.
You honour me too much, fair lady.
Fair lady. Mr. Galahad. Oh, ain't you the one? Oh, but not that I haven't seen better days and always had me own horses. Until that there Mr. Dickens took advantage of me and put me in a book.
I was about to say, madam, that you honour me too much in calling me Sir Galahad. That noble knight is many leagues away.
Well, who are you then, a-coming along and a-raising up me oaks like that? Just like all the rest of the men, always imposing on a widow like this.
I am but a poor white knight, offering my services to such as are in need of them. At the moment, I have under my protection this little girl, whom I found weeping beside a broken looking glass.
Ah, the poor little darling. And what's your name? What's the matter, lovey? Lost your tongue? Can't you say good morning to your dear old Auntie Sarah? Come on, ducky, shake hands, that's right. Oh, we're going to be great friends, aren't we, darling?
Oh, you hurt me. I don't like you. We're not going to be friends, and I'm sure you're not my aunt. Please send her away, White Knight.
Well, madam, that is...
I don't know.
No, 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 then you better stay out of this here.
Harry?
Look, who's this funny old woman coming at us? Look at all of them funny people with her.
Harry, where are you? Where are you? Oh, there you are, you naughty girl. Come along at once. We'll be late for the convention.
It's the Duchess. Oh, I'm so glad she's come.
Come along with Vincent. I've got to go and find the orders. Now, how do you think we can have a convention if you aren't there to pour tea? Oh, you'll break my heart.
Come on, Mr. Weller. We can follow her, and then we shan't lose ourselves.
All right, ma'am. Lead the way.
Yeah, doing all right, Eldon, for one who don't like bidders.
I knows what I'm a-doing of, Sammy. There's safety in numbers, me boy. There's safety in numbers.
Now see what you've done. Our nice new friends have left us, and the Duchess has gone and dissolved into tears.
She hasn't gone anywhere. She dissolved right here. She'll be back directly.
But how can she come back if she hasn't gone?
Let's ask the Hatter. He was right behind her when she went.
But you said she didn't go.
Now you're being stupid. Go over and stand on your own square. And don't you move until I tell you to. Now, where's that Hatter? Oh, there you are. What shall we do about the Duchess, Hatter?
Let's have an inquest.
But she isn't there.
How do you know she isn't?
She was here just a minute ago.
Here today, gone tomorrow.
Then we shall have to wait until the day after tomorrow.
Certainly not. She might not go. Then we couldn't have an inquest. It would never do. Give me my fountain pen.
Where is it?
In my pocket.
Which pocket?
My best pocket. My pen and ink best pocket.
Alice. Alice.
Oh, there's that stupid Mock Turtle. I wonder what he wants.
Off with his head. Off with his head. And we'll all have soup for tea.
There, it's the Duchess. I told you she hadn't gone.
All our trouble for nothing.
What trouble? We didn't have the inquest.
No, but we might have had. Then where should we have been?
Here, of course.
No, we shouldn't. We should have been where the Duchess was.
But she wasn't anywhere.
And that's just where we should have been. Nowhere. Oh, let's change the subject. Where's that Mock Turtle?
He's crawling away. Bring him back. It's nearly dinner time. Come, Turtle. Nice Turtle. Come along, Turtle.
But I don't want to come till after dinner.
I think you're very unkind, Turtle. If you feel you'd rather we didn't have any dinner, I'll speak to the Duchess about it. Oh, she's gone. I do believe she's running after that old Mr. Weller that was here.
Does it make any difference? We shall see them all at the convention. Move the White Knight, Alice. Come along, Turtle.
Thank you very much, and... while we're on the way, I'll tell you the sad story of my life.
You've told us that before. It begins once I was a real
turtle. Oh, I'm very sorry, but I made that up. I'll tell you the real story this time.
How can a Mock Turtle have a real story?
Be quiet, Hatter. Can't you see the poor thing is very sorry for himself? Begin, Turtle.
Thank you. My mother, a beautiful fat brown cow, was born in Gibraltar. A silver spoon was in her mouth, round her neck a golden halter.
That's not very good poetry.
Don't interrupt, Hatter. Go on, Turtle.
She was clever and sweet, with very small feet, an admirer of Mrs. Grundy, and her friends with a glad, proud smile she'd greet when she took me to church on Sunday. How happy was I in my carful days as I nibbled the grass and clover. You'd not find another with my sweet ways if you searched the whole world over. But soon I came on a troublous time, as always with cattle and men. For when father was called to a happier clime, poor mother, she married again. Oh, sad is the lot of a bovine tot stepsired by a Holstein bull. With clouds my sky was overshot, my sorrowing cup was full. At an auction one day, my step-papa was sold to a vigorous bidder, and then, for the second time, mama was a lorn and lonely widow. At last she died, and I was so benumbed by this bereavement, I stayed a calf, I refused to grow, observe the great achievement. For had I died, 'twould have been my lot to be flavored with mace and myrtle, and basil and thyme, and chopped shallot, and guzzled as pure mock turtle.
Poor mock turtle?
I didn't say poor, I said pure, and please don't interrupt. But such a fate I scorn to meet. I would not end so lowly, for life, I swear, is very sweet by everything that's holy. Frustration, though, doth wait for me, for now my frame so scrawny, not e'en mock turtle can it be, just plain mulligatawny.
Oh, you poor thing. Isn't there anything we can do for him, Hatter?
Best thing we can do is to keep him out of the way of the Duchess. She loves mulligatawny. Look at the way she's always throwing pepper at anybody.
That isn't the Duchess, it's the cook.
Well, what's the difference? The Duchess pays her to do, doesn't she?
She hasn't paid her cook for months.
Alice! Alice!
Oh, there's the Duchess again, Hatter. Whatever shall we do? She's terribly angry.
She always is.
Ah, there you are. Why aren't you at the convention? Where have you been?
We were just going to the convention.
I didn't ask where you were going. I asked where you've been.
We haven't been anywhere.
Where are you now?
Here.
Then, here is where you were. And this is where you've been, isn't it? Oh, I'll teach you. Where's that there turtle? I want my dinner.
Oh, I knew this was going to happen.
Oh, please, Duchess, don't eat the mock turtle. Besides, he isn't a real mock turtle. He's only a mulligatawny.
So, he's been deceiving me, has he? Off with his head. I hate mulligatawny.
Just like a woman, she always told me she loved it.
This way, Samuel. This way.
Now, see what you've done. Wasted all this time, and now those Dickens people are coming back. Off with you, off with you. Down to the convention. Hurry, get along.
Yes, you're right, Alden. This is where he was. Look, there they go now. We can easily catch them.
Hold on, Sammy. Hold on. I ain't so young as I used to be, and this here strange climate seems to get me in the windbag.
All right, Alden, take it easy now. Now, don't go getting of yourself all excited, Mike. Sit down a minute.
Thank you, Sammy. Yeah, I'll be all right in a minute or two. Did we give her the slip, Sammy? Did we give her the slip, that there gamp vidder?
Well, she ain't here now, and that's something. But you never can tell when she might find us again.
Well, if she does, Sammy, all I ask is that you don't leave me alone with her. That's all I ask. Oh, I wish as how I hadn't never come along with you, Sammy. Then I shouldn't never have met her.
Oh, look after you, Alden. But you must remember all the nice people you meet in here. That little Alice and the Hatter. And even that there funny old Duchess has her points.
Maybe she has, Sammy, but she's got him pretty well covered up. Now, what's this here turtle critter a-wanting of?
Excuse me, sirs, and may please your exalted highnesses. I bring an invitation from the Duchess. She requests the pleasure of your company at afternoon tea.
Oh, afternoon tea, is it? I thought it was a convention.
Afternoon tea is always a convention with the Duchess.
And what's we going to convene about?
Well, there's the price of pork, election of officers, boundaries of the public domain, a nomination of a president. Both parties are expected at the Duchess's party. There are two, sir, the reprobates and the publicans.
And which one do you want us to vote for?
The one you can get the most out of course.
It's quite democratic, ain't it, Alden?
What I want to know is, who is this here Duchess, and what's she Duchess of?
Good sir, she's my mistress, the Duchess of Wonderland.
How about the Duke? Will he be there?
Alas, sir, there is no Duke.
Yes, what I thought. You can go and tell your Duchess, one as our Tony Villa don't take tea with no vidders.
Well, Alden, if you don't want to come, you're needn't. But I'm a-going, and if a mated lot comes back, and if you asks me, what I says is that either widders has more cause to be afraid of you than you has to be afraid of the vidders. So goodbye, Governor. I'll see you when it comes back, if I ever does come back.
Of all the ingratitudinous weasels I ever did see, that's what comes of pleading of them kind. Oh, Samuel,
to think of you were going off and leaving me like this.
Your pardon, sir. I trust I do not intrude.
And if you does, what then?
Then, sir, I shall continue on my way. I chanced to see that you were torn as by some grief, and so in decency did I stop to offer you such service as I may.
And coming nicely, I'm sure. I beg your pardon for speaking kind of rough, but that there Sammy boy of mine has been and gone and left me here in parts I haven't never saw before. Name of Vella, sir. Tony Vella.
And I, sir, am Hamlet, Prince of Denmark.
Prince, eh? Think of that. Hobnobbing with a blue-black tie, eh? Why, I just had an invitation to a tea party with a duchess. Think of that.
Indeed, sir. To that same party I am wending. Let us go together.
That would be all right if I was a-going, which I ain't.
What good, sir? Not going to enjoy the delightful hospitality of Her Grace, the Duchess.
That's what I said. Dinner ain't it?
Alas, these many years.
Verse and verse. Dinner is pace, that's what pace.
Good sir, thou placed upon the tender string. I see thou art a man of understanding, and I would seek thy aid.
The help of such a me wouldn't be good to the likes of you.
I pretty, lend thine ear. In days long past, when I was but a lad, a noxious villain, probing into matters which concerned him not, William Shakespeare by name, spy upon me at the play. He thought not of the evil he did to me, and took me free of guile within his brain, and did turn me round, and did spew me, coming forth into the world, a vaporing offspring of a mother indifferent to mistake.
Sounds to me as if you was a wrong'un, Governor, to go defending of yourself like that.
And that, good sir, is just the burden of my tale. For from that evil day, I've roamed the world, strutted and stalked on every stage, mouthed and jived in every tongue, including the Scandinavian, have been discussed and torn apart by all who paid the pittance to observe me in the ravings. The melancholy Dane. Was Hamlet mad? Good sir, I pray you tell me in very truth, was Hamlet mad?
So it's uncommon queer you should be carrying on like that, Mr. Hamlet. You know, I'm a victim myself.
I thought perchance 'twas so. And to what rogue do you owe your plight?
I wouldn't go so far as to say he was a rogue, Mr. Hamlet. Maybe he was a bit arrogant-like. Sort of one of them there dreamers what brings us poor, helpless critters into the world without a thinking of the harm they're a-doing of us.
Now speak of a man of thought and reason, Sir Tony.
Exactly, Mr. Hamlet. And I'm glad as how you recognise us as a gentleman when you sees one. Not as how I am, Sir Tony. His Your Highness was good enough to call me. But what as how I might have been, Sir Tony, or even Lord Tony, if that there Charlie Dickens hadn't made up his mind as I was only fit to handle horses and run away from villas.
Which brings us to the purpose of our visit to the Duchess.
Hold on now, hold on. What purpose? What visit? I told you, Mr. Hamlet, I ain't a-going to visit no Duchess. That's why I'm a-sitting here alone. You can go by yourself, Your Highness. No bitter duchesses for me.
Oh, what fools these mortals be. Your whole state of being hurts you, yet nothing will you do to change it. To observe, I spoke a line not mine by deed of gift.
Well, Your Highness, I don't see as I'm going to tea with the duchesses are going to help.
Oh, it isn't only going to be tea. It's only a very important convention. A lot of influential literary characters will be there. Hope to get sufficient support to enable us to make a declaration of independence. The king and queen, the knave of hearts are coming. The knave is the postmaster general, and many of the court from diamonds, clubs, and spades. We might get a full pack, and we could have a new deal.
It might help a bit. But what's this here duchess got to do with it?
The duchess is, of course, of the greatest importance in literature, particularly to the younger generation.
I haven't never heard of it.
Never heard of the Duchess of Wonderland?
come to think on it, it seems as I recollect Miss Trotwood telling young Master Copperfield about it one day.
You know, Mr. Weller, the Duchess has never really liked herself.
Don't wonder at that. But seeing as how you make such a point on it, I'll come. But look out of me, Your Highness. Don't let her go setting up her cap at me. I'm ready. Next day.
It is but a short distance. One can almost hear the chattering from here. See, the table spread upon the lawn beneath.
Hello, Eldon. Who's your gloomy looking friend?
Samuel, I'm ashamed on you. This here's a poor misunderstood gentleman from Denmark, named Hamlet. What is that? He's a prince. Your Highness, this is me very own son, Samuel, and a sore trial he is, too.
Pleased to meet you, Your Highness. But you'd better go over and speak to the Duchess. Very touchy she is.
Samuel! There you are. Who are these people? Where are their invitations? Off with their heads.
Yeah, that's a nice thing, ain't it?
Silence. Who are you? Who's your friend? Why does he look so sad? Have you been drinking? Don't twiddle with your thumbs. Don't stand up. Don't sit down. Where are your tickets? Have you paid your tax? Speak when you're spoken to and don't answer back. Silence. Well, why don't you say something?
May please, Your Grace.
Silence. The meeting will now come to order. Secretary will call the roll. If you're here, don't bother to answer. If you're not here, raise your right hand. Proceed with the calling of the roll, Mr. Secretary of State.
Alice, Tony Weller, Sam Weller, Duchess, Dormouse, White Knight, Mad Hatter, Hamlet, Napoleon, King of Hearts, Secretary of the Treasury, and all the rest. Everybody present, Mr. Chairman, except those who didn't come.
The convention is now in session.
Hooray!
The first item on the program is the collection of the carpet tax.
We don't want no carpet tax.
Then, stupid, how are you going to keep your rugs from sliding?
Silence!
We're going to open the meeting with the singing of a new campaign song written by the Hatter. But as there may be some late arrivals, we shall not call on the Hatter until a little later. In the meantime, we are fortunate in having with us a gentleman from Denmark who is going to tell us about the ancient memorial privileges of the Caucasian Aborigines. My lords and ladies and gentlemen, I have the honor to introduce Prince Hamlet of Denmark.
May it please, Your Grace. When I was a boy, I served a term...
Guess what he did? 6 months in pension there.
Thank you. I'm sure we've all learned a great deal from this wonderful message. Ladies and gentlemen, the Mock Turtle will now propose a vote of confidence in Prince Hamlet. Order for the Mock Turtle.
I propose a vote of confidence in Prince Hamlet.
What I want to know is that there Mock Turtle a man or a woman? And if so, is he a villain?
A vote of confidence is now before the meeting. All those not in favor shall have their heads chopped off. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
The vote of confidence is passed, obsequious, unanimous, ubiquitously.
Well, what does that there mean?
It's a new word of my own. It means with all due deference by everybody, everywhere, God save the Queen, rule Britannia, and thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman.
The White Knight. Order. Order for the White Knight.
Your Grace. My lords and ladies and gentlemen, there comes a tide in the affairs of man when he who waits for that which never was and never is to be must inevitably discover that the cave dwellers of Olympus are indisputably diminuendo furioso adagio lacrimoso, horrifico esperanto manantropo, zodiacate capricornum, multipa veniti elapsus fungus. Ain't that the truth?
Order!
We are gathered here this afternoon to claim the inalienable right to live our simple lives as individuals, free and unhampered by the sickly sentiments and sloppy phrases assigned to us by the selfish interests of the unsolicited authors of our lives.
Here, hooray and encore!
If there are others here who will endorse my sentiments, and I'm sure there must be, we can, by asserting ourselves persistently and inflexibly, achieve our purpose of walking unmolested in the public domain, without fear of being suppressed by the tyrants who conceived us. For men may come and men may go, but we go on forever.
Oh. Why don't you say something, Sheldon?
It's what I will.
By a lady of quality such as me, when she has to speak ignorant in polite society. And another thing, this here matter of part and stitch, and as I've always been held up as an honorable example for putting of me lips to the bottle when I feel disposed, as a matter of fact, I swear, as how I never touches a drop unless I'm thin disposed, which I'm sorry to say is somewhat frequent. Suffering as I does from a weak heart. I thank that there white knight with tears in my eyes for his noble sentiments. And as I was saying to my dear friend, Mrs. Harris, only this morning, Mrs. Harris,
what do you mean, Mrs. Gamp? You know very well that there is not, never no such a person.
And who says the like? What's the matter here? What are they doing, lovey?
Oh, well, if it ain't the dear blessed soul herself come to help her dear old Harry in trouble. Oh, Mrs. Harris, Daddy.
Copyright law is an horrible bane to all who are born of a novice brain. And now that we're gathered at 5 o'clock tea, we'll cast off our appearance and set ourselves free. So
up the mountain again, broken on the mountain around her hand. She's holding the pulley and feathery ale. Foot hawkers and agents and lawyers in jail.
You have just heard a performance of Public Domain by Eustace Wyatt, presented by the Columbia Workshop. This week's production was directed by Earl McGill. Tune in next Saturday at this same time for another Columbia Workshop presentation.